Praise the Lord.
Love Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and glory to God in the highest. We have Dr. Hunter on the line. Would you like to share anything with us, Dr. Hunter, before we get started? Or would you like to pray or anything?
No, today I just want to thank God for everything he has done today for me, for those I've been praying for the believers, and see what's going on. But I always say, there's nobody like God. He's the only true and living God, in the name of Jesus. And tonight we got this lady, Abraham, and she's going to give us a word from God or whatever program consists of. I back up 100%. And I wanted to know, I thank God for you, Sister Abraham. You have, God bless you. Go ahead.
Glory Amen. To God. Good evening, this here April the 11th, 2017. Glory to God for this Monday night. We are so pleased and gloriously happy to enter into the gates of the living God. I want to begin with prayer. O Most High God, in the holy name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we come into your presence with the Holy Spirit indwelling us, thanking you, praising you, magnifying you, and glorifying you, God. You are worthy, 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 worthy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tried to do it seven times. Was that eight? I tried to do one more than seven. Glory to God, because seven is a holy and perfect number, so I wanted to always be able to give God his praise in the name of Jesus. Well, this is what the world calls the Easter week. Yesterday was the Palm Sunday. My neighbor, praise be to God, just bought me some palms. And so I'm just so thrilled. I thank God for Sister Holmes. God bless her a million, a million, a million. And all my neighbors, bless all my neighbors. Those I know, those I don't know. Those that's close and those that's far, bless the name. I'm asking God to bless the body of Christ, all those who name the name of Christ. If anybody know 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says something very powerful. I'm going to read it to you right quick, but that is not where I'm going to come from tonight. I want to talk about the resurrection, that the world knows as Easter. But me and brother was talking about how I feel that good news just ain't adequate enough for the glorious triumph that Most High God did for us. And just to relegate it down to saying good news, I don't know what man came up with that little philosophy. But however, it is greater than good news. Believe me, good news, good news. Oh, that just can't, that don't do it justice. But one week I'm going to preach on, teach on the fact. But right now I'm trying to get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 so I can read to you about, not necessarily 1 Corinthians 15. I was thinking about Anatha, that's in Romans. Anatha Maranatha, any man who loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be Anatha Maranatha. And I will tell you about it at the end of the program if the Lord permits. But right now, I'm going to come to you from Matthew 22:23. But you be thinking about Anatha Maranatha. There was a gospel group of years ago called the Maranatha Singers. So the Anatha Maranatha. Y'all need to know what that stands for. I'm sure you Bible scholars out there know. But any case, this is celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Most High God, the Creator. People get offended when I say that. He is the Creator. I know it. I know it. I know it's hard to calculate that Jesus Christ is the Creator, yet he was only born of a virgin, and he was only walked this earth in the flesh. In the flesh. Always remember that. For, they say, 33 years. Okay? And then he was caught up. He was seen first. Let's get that straight. He was crucified, hung on a tree, buried, and then he rose, and then he was seen of Mary Magdalene, and then of his disciples, and then of over 500. This is the Creator that I so boldly make my proclaim to you, the Creator. But anyway, I was going to I'm headed to Matthew chapter 22 to read to you, and I like to be challenged. Call me and say, how come you say he the Creator? How dare you say he the Creator? Call me and tell me about myself. Tell me, how could somebody who just walked this earth for 33 years be the Creator? Now, what kind of joke is that? Do you understand? Who playing a joke on us? He died, y'all. Did you hear that? He died. The Creator died. Oh, my God, do you understand that the Creator died? And Matthew chapter 22, and Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Understand that now. They would not come. Oh, God, who's that calling me? Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Now, this is Matthew chapter 22, 1, 2, and 3 that I'm reading so far. He's telling them to come to the marriage. But they made light. Listen to this. They made light of it and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Verse 5. This was 22:5, Matthew 22:5. And the remnant took his servant and entered them spitefully and slew them. Did you hear this? Did you hear this? But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, he was upset, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, burned up their cities. Verse 8. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready. The wedding is ready, people. The wedding is ready. Matthew 22:8. The wedding is ready. Do you hear me? Oh, I'm excited. The wedding is ready. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. Come to my wedding, people. Come to my wedding. Like I call people before we come on the air and invite them to come on. Because this is a participating blog talk radio. And we invite all of you to come. And we invite you to meditate and pray and seek the Lord. And then challenge Dr. Hunter and I and Sister Cynthia and whoever else be on here at the end of the night. Challenge us. I mean, because listen to what I said now. Go, I'm going to keep repeating it. He walked the earth for 33 years, yet he was the creator. I tell you, God has got a great sense of humor, don't he? God got a great sense of humor. The king came. He stayed in a stinking manger with horses and cows and animals. He didn't even have a bed. He didn't have luxury sheets. And yet he was the king. The king was born in a manger. Oh, how low can you get? The king, the creator king. Oh, glory, hallelujah. And I'm 71 years old, praise be to God Almighty in the name of Jesus. And I know the Bible say one day with the Lord is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like one day. But these been some long 70 years, and I thank God for every day of them, because it's only through the grace of God that I'm alive to be able to shout the praise, the resurrection of the living Savior. The Bible say, except a grain of corn fall to the earth and die, it cannot bring forth fruit. You know, and so what? So another one of the seeming hard to understand parables is, you know, is that I've been born again, yet I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I've been made anew. I'm a new creature for Romans 5:17. I'm a new creature in Christ. I've been resurrected. I've died, I've been buried, and I rose again, and I'm alive now forevermore. Oh, glory! Woo! Wait, I can't tell y'all enough. I can't tell you enough. The word is just too good. But listen at this. He's inviting them to the wedding. He invited. I'm supposed to be the scriptures. This Matthew 22 is good. But I wasn't planning on staying over here very long. But this is so good, because it has it's talking about the resurrection also, but in a different form. Listen at this. I was at 8. Then said he to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but that which are bidden were not worthy." They were not worthy. Did you hear this now? I want you to remember Matthew 22:8. About not being worthy, not being dressed in the proper attire. Matthew 22, study it. Study it. It's going to leave you full of questions, seeking God, asking him to open your eyes of understanding. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Come on now, Matthew 22 is talking to you. And when the king came in to see the guests, verse 11, Matthew 22:11, you guys, Matthew 22:11. When the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man. Which had not on a wedding garment. Do you hear me? And he saith unto him, "Friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Oh, Matthew 22:12, you guys. He was speechless. Matthew 22:13. Then said the king to the servant, "Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness." Matthew 22:13. Do you hear me? Do you hear me now? There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14. For many, For many are called, but few are chosen. Don't be not chosen.
Not as if we have anything to do with it. That's Matthew 22:14. I'm telling you, Matthew 22:14 I've taught on this here before about bidding people to come to the wedding, and then and he didn't tell them how to dress. But do anybody out there in the audience who's a Bible scholar or a person who studies to show themselves approved to the Most High God, can call in and tell me what is the proper attire, what is the proper garment to wear to the wedding of the Most High God, to the Creator now. Remember that. We're still talking about the Creator who died. I don't want you to forget what I'm saying, because you're going to be challenged with these here all kinds of people with all kinds of philosophies, Muslim and Buddhist and Hindu and Dalai Lama and all of these here different philosophies of other religions. But let me clue you in. Give you a clue. Verse 28, it says, therefore in the go down to 25. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue left his wife unto his brother. Verse 26. Likewise, the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And verse 27, and last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err. You do make a mistake. You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. This is very important. Matthew 22:28-29. For in the resurrection, verse 30, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as angels, y'all, as angels, ooh, glory to God, as angels of God in heaven. Verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. That is Matthew 22:32. Memorize it. Matthew 22:32 is very important. It's very, very, very important, because I speak to you about how the Creator was dead. How the Creator. Now, I know that's got to be confusing to you, trying to figure out how could the Creator die? How could the Creator die? And as we all know, Genesis chapter 1 and St. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word, St. John now, became flesh. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm having a ball tonight. I don't know about y'all. But this Resurrection Sunday coming up, y'all need to know about my God, your God, and your sacrifice, your resurrection. You need to know about the resurrection, the one who bled, hung, and died on Calvary's hill for you. And do you know when he said, "It is finished," after he hung his head? Do you know that those who receive him have eternal life forever? Can you imagine what forever? Forever and forever we're going to live. And I was thinking about heaven today, you know, because over further, he says he was going away and he has built a mansion. If it were not so, he would not have told us. That's St. John chapter 14, you know. But it ain't a mansion like that, like these four walls that you can see. It ain't a mansion, nothing like down here on earth. There are people got, one of Oprah's houses cost $50 million. $50 million, I can't imagine. If I had $10 trillion, I don't think I'd spend $50 million for a house. However, it'll burn, it'll flood, it'll roll off the hill if it's on a hill. You know, all them things that can happen to your $100,000 house can happen to your $50 million house. But the mansion that God has built for us, can't nothing happen to it. Nothing. I tell you, the Resurrection Sunday is coming. Let me hurry up and give you the rest of these scriptures. John 11:25, because I want you to understand that Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is God. Jesus. Ho, 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 ho. 11:25. John 11:25. Jesus said unto them, to her, I'm going to back up just a couple of verses. Jesus saith unto her, verse 23. No, I better go up to 22, John 11:22. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Do y'all understand that? At the resurrection at the last day. See, the Jews knew about the resurrection at the last day, but us Gentiles, we didn't even have a clue. We didn't have a clue until I got resurrected again, until I got resurrected. But Martha said unto him, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And 11:25, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection. And the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, glory! Woo-hoo! Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Dr. Hunter and I are baby boomers, and we're in our 70s, and we're headed out of this land. And we know that we all got to die, even though young people die, too. And y'all think you got a long time before you have to think about death. Well, let me tell you. It used to be on my answering machine. Don't leave this world without him. Because it's for sure going to die. It's for sure we going to live forever. Now, you're going to live forever either with Christ or without Christ. but you still gonna be living. And if we all talk about hell, we all talk about hell. No matter how miserable you are here on this earth, and I mean that can be some horrible situations. I've been locked. I've been a quadriplegic, locked in my body from my neck all the way down. Could not talk or nothing. That was, I thought, hell. I mean, I compared that to real hell. I mean, I couldn't do nothing for myself. However, that makes hell look like a Sunday. Hell make that look like a Sunday school class. You know what I'm saying? Let me tell you. St. John 11:25. Let me give y'all a couple more, all the other scriptures. I won't read them because my time is almost up. Acts 17:18, Acts 24:15, Romans 6:5, Philippians 3:10, Hebrews 11:35, and the best one, Revelations 20:5. Revelations 20:5. I can't tell y'all how excited I am that we, the world, I praise God. I don't make no special days of none of the holidays because to me, just for Reverend Aurora Ruth Prince's love, just for me, every day is a holiday. Every day. That I'm above ground to give praise and magnification to the Most High God. That is Christmas and Easter and all the holidays rolled into one. For me, I'm so glad that our world, this world, the Bible says Satan is the god of the world. And so I'm so glad that the world recognizes my Savior and my sacrifice and my resurrection, Yeshua HaMashiach. And I urge every soul out there to please, there's a song, run to me, come on and run to me. My arms are wide open, run to me. Run to me, I'm here for you. I have nothing but love for you. So I urge you, run to Jesus. His arms are open wide, and he's there. And most of all, I prayed a prayer this at 5 o'clock this morning, and I want to share a revelation with you. That I tell you all the time that you are loved. Dr. Hunter says, no matter what you do, I love you, and it ain't nothing you can do about it. And I'm going to tell you, God loves you. God loves you. And if you don't give nothing else, no other thanks during the day, every day you wake up from this day, let this be a new day for you starting this day. Make a vow to yourself. Don't make it to God. Make it to yourself so that way you won't have to disappoint God. That during the 24 hours every day, you will thank God for loving you. Thank God for loving you. Thank God for loving you because God surely loves you. And he loved you while you were yet in your sin. Christ died for the ungodly. Be blessed and know that you are loved in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.
Amen. But praise the living God from whom all blessings flow. And one of the things I take notice of what this blessing was brought forth by our beloved sister. And today, I just want to follow along the same path that she was talking about, but moreover, I want to let you know something. When God has done something, he has done something. And I want to take off in the book of Mark 8:34. Now, we talk about the resurrection. Now, I want to go to the cross. When we, Mark 8:34, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciple also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In other words, when you see what Mark is writing about, the great men who walked with God, who walked with the apostle Paul, he's saying to those who are listening, he says, but Jesus said, whosoever, and we all out there saying, whosoever, are you a whosoever? Are you a them? Soever, whosoever themselves will come after me. See, there are a lot of people out there in the world won't come after Jesus Christ. But he said, to come after me, it's a cost going to cost you something. Here's the cost to get to that cross, to get to that resurrection. He said, in order to follow what I'm telling you, he said, take up your cross. The cross of the world, the problems, the confusion. But all you got to do is take up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. When you follow me, he says, I have taken the sting out of the cross. But it comes to a point where we read, Obadiah said this way, neither shall thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of the escape. Some people don't want to get it, they don't want to escape. But God has given us a way of escape. Now, when I read Matthew 10:38, I find something else. He that taketh not his cross, oh my God. See, you've heard it talks. You've heard it earlier. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. So when you go back and look what Mark wrote, look what Matthew is saying. He's saying something the opposite. They're saying it the opposite. One saying, take up the cross and follow Christ. And the other said, if you don't take it, you're not worthy. So my statement is, are you worthy of Jesus Christ? This is going to be real something else. It's real simple. Can you take up your cross and follow him? Or can you not take your cross? He said, I didn't say it. Jesus said. Jesus said, we're not worthy. He also said one particular place in the word, he said, if you go and put your hands on the plow and look backwards, you're not worthy of the kingdom. See, there are many statements that can be profound. What God is saying, to us in full context, and what we come in full context, we see it. Then Jesus said unto the disciples, here it comes again. If any man, Willie Hunter, the president, the governor, the mayor, a man, a homosexual, change his life, let him deny himself. Deny yourself. You got to get deny yourself of all the good things. And take up his cross. Take up the things that Jesus said in the Bible. Love, peace, and joy, and understanding, and follow me. And you know what? In context, you're going to see what God is saying. See, the Son of the living God loved us so much that he gave his only Son. His only Son. Now, let me stop right there. Who can give up their only Son? Nobody but God. God did. God loved us so till he gave his only Son. But it was a plan. Somebody out there on the backside say it was a plan. 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 It was a plan that God had before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. We are part of that plan. But that's why he made it so simple. In both of those scriptures, Matthew 8:38, he said in Mark 8:34, and in Matthew 10:38, he says in one place, now you take your cross up, follow me, and let him deny yourself, and follow me. That was no negative positive. He said, come follow me. Come on, follow me. It's all he was saying. But when you look at the other scripture and read into it, and when you interpret what the scripture says, now, you got to take up your cross. Take up your cross. Jesus said, whosoever will come after me? He said, take up your cross. Here again, he said, take up your cross and follow me. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you cannot deny yourself, you're not worthy of the cross. So don't come complaining when you're not following Jesus' principles. Understand it. When I wrote in my school, and I wrote about the doctorate, and I wrote my thesis about the blood, hallelujah. Now I'm getting happy also, hallelujah, glory to God. See, the blood of Jesus was spurred, it was spread, it was sprinkled over the place of the Israelites in Egypt. God said, take the blood and spread it over the doorposts, that when the death angels come by, they will not see it. The death angel will not see it. They'll see the blood. It was a sign. It was after the resurrection. And I'm going to have to dig in it later on. Praise God, I'm getting happy, Lord. I love you. And here's what happened. And then all of a sudden he said, Jesus spilled his blood at Calvary. All the blood in his body, every drop, hit this earth. And the earth shook and trembled. And all of them got upset. What happened here? And someone said, surely, hey, glory to God, this is the Son of the living God. See, even the devil himself, the devil said, oh, what have I done wrong? I made a mistake. Yeah, you did. Oh, I know that I'm this measured devil because you ain't got no sense. But he'll, I will glory to God, praise his holy name. So I'm willing, Hunter, to take your time. And see, when God speaks, and that was a man, we look at what Jesus said, take the road. Now we get into the book, we see in Matthew 27:32, and that was a man of the Cyrene, Cyrene Simon by name. He was a black man. They compel him to take his cross. Take this cross of Jesus. Take the cross of Jesus. See, Jesus had been going through, after them whipped him. My God Almighty, can you see how they beat him so bad? Can you see how they just took him and slapped him, spit on him, took urine, everything they could put on him? Can you imagine what they did during that time? What they did to our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus didn't open his, he didn't open his mouth. He didn't say a single word. He just like a lamb stood. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He stood. He stood there. Didn't say a word. Didn't even mumble. He took the punishment. Some of us won't take the punishment. Sometimes we go through changes. I'll go through changes. I say, Lord, you keep me. Stand by my side, old Lord, because you took the pain from me. And this is why we on the radio, Blog Talk Radio, getting people to understand what Jesus has done for us. Now, it's up to you out there who listen to us. We try our best to make it S-I-M-P-L-E. We don't have no arguments. We don't have no fusses, no fighting, no body beat, body boom. But we just want to let you know what the word says. And I want you to know because this is what, and she said, that, see, I got what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 scores. And I'm still pressing in. But I know what God is doing. Today, pause. Today, I had one of the greatest times with my son and my grandson. You know, that made me feel like I was royal. I was the king of the hill. But I said, one day I'm going to leave this earth. When I leave this earth, I want my son to take over. And I want to teach his son to take over. And that's how God puts it in there. Come on back. Forward back. Let me tell you something. And when Jesus told him, see, but Jesus had told the disciple, he told him, wait a minute, hold it, guys. Let me tell you something. Look at Matthew. Somebody get Matthew 27:40. And saying that thou destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days. Let's put a pause there. He's going to tear down that temple and tear it down in 3 days. He was not talking about a building. He was talking about his body. And say thyself, if thou be the son, come on down. See, they got him at the cross right now. Hey, come on down. You talking about destroying this, but they're going to see the whole thing. My God, Almighty, it's so good. I love you, Father. Oh, I love you. And see, when you take this, what God is saying, he saved others. Oh, when he walked this in. I heard some people talking today on the radio, talking about, well, you know, well, the 12 Jesus sat on the earth rim. He was a little boy. He walked this, and he was fed by his mama. I said, yes, he was. But 18 years, nobody knew where he was. Nobody but God. Because I will say this, how did he get down the way to India? How did he get over to America? How did he get to the seventh continent? Because he walked this earth. How? Supernaturally. Supernaturally. That's the kind of God we serve. He is a supernatural God. He gave his son certain inherent powers. And Jesus used him. When he became a full man at the age 30, according to the biblical law, he was able to come forth and do the righteousness of God. He was able to stand in the temple. When he did what he did, he told him, I'm going to the cross. No, you're not. The devil said, no, we got to stop him. I'm having fun, Lord. I love you. And you know what? Who, Jesus? Who, Jesus? And he said one thing. And Jesus put back and not go backtrack. Jesus said, I love you so much. And said to him, one thing thou lack on the way to follow me. He said, I want you to give all you got to the poor. I ain't going to give the poor folks nothing. My name is Trump. I ain't giving them nothing. Oh, no, you got to come on now, Lord, come on. And thou shalt treasure, and you got to treasure them. Well, listen to me. Trump, Hunter, Bahia, all of those, unless you see what Jesus said. If you cannot do one thing, you're lost. You can't even find your way. What God is saying to the entire body of Christ, as we come, he said, hallelujah, hey, hallelujah. He says these words. He says, help the poor and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure. Now, what kind of treasure? In heaven, now we have class on treasure. What do we have in heaven? We had healing. We had love. It was a treasure. We had kindness. All the things that God had in that box. Everything you thought you prayed for was in that box. And that is an unanswered prayer. Now, many times the treasure is the vault where it carries all the good things. But God had that vault so full of his love, so full of his joy, so full of his peace. Till a blind man, hallelujah, a blind man was able to see, because he did what he do. He went on and said everything he had. Look at that man who went to the pool who couldn't even walk. But God said, now if you got the faith, he said, get on up and walk. And so they got all up. See, the whole scenario, as Dr. A. Royal said, the resurrection was the apex of everything, APX, the highest point of what Jesus did, the resurrection. When he said, I am the resurrection, everything come underneath that resurrection. And when we compel somebody on this radio program who wants prayer, we pray for them. We believe with them. We intercede for them. We love them. We won't hurt them. We want to tell them what God says. And I know sometimes people say, well, actually say, sometimes y'all know too much. We don't know nothing. We just do what God say do. See, and that's why the devil said, now, wait a minute. Now, I'm going to show you something. Here's where we get back into this realm while we get the spiritual realm. See, there's three realms that we deal in. There's the atmosphere, the ionosphere, and the stratosphere. See, in the atmosphere, it's where we roam right now. Where all that atoms, H2O, is right where we are. Now, out there in that other atmosphere, ionosphere, it's dark out there. It's darkness out there. Look out there at night. All you can see is darkness. But when you look above the stratosphere, it's where God is angels deal. And that's where God is sitting. The earth has light. But Satan has so made it to look like it's nothing but dark. And see, right now we're living in a time in our lives where every one of us have got to come to a stand up. As my mom always said, God up or sit down. Tie up or shut up. It's our time. It's our time. Either we're going to do it or we're going to come after him. Either we're going to love him. Either we're going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you see, one thing that they did, what the devil did, I'm going to Yes, Lord. See, the devil, he said, hold it. He said, wait a minute. Wait. He said, hold it. And the devil said, wait. He said, hold it. Now, if this be the Son of God, let's challenge him one more time. Now, if you say you're the Son of God, Willie Hunter, come down. When I died, oh, glory, I came off the cross. When I died, I got resurrection power. When I got up, I walk in Jesus' newness. Now, if I still like I'm a little loud, forgive me, but I'm excited. But I want you to know, who, Jesus? They went to the place called Golgotha. It was called a skull where they took Jesus Christ. And Lucifer, the fallen angel, he's a demon on the earth realm. Lucifer, he decided, well, you know, I've been after what he got from the beginning, and I think right now I can take his place. Now, if he say he's the Son of God, why don't he come down? Come on down. Like they say, come on down. Let me tell you, the only way Jesus come down, he would be in dishonest of God. He was not going to dishonor his Father. When we go and read Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, this is my beloved Son that God said, I have appointed him as the king of the hill in Jerusalem. God says that. God the Father, God says that. This is my beloved Son, and I love it. And he said in the scriptures, this is my beloved Son, and whom he said, hear ye him. And when we read the four gospels, we got three of the gospels that stay in harmony, but one is out of sync because it's the one that John wrote. When John wrote that, it was different from all the rest of them. It didn't talk about one thing, it was talking about the airship and the resurrection and the way that seemed to be perfect that Jesus was going to do. And when God the Father took his Son in Matthew and John 17, and when Jesus Christ of Nazareth said, Father, in other words, God the Father, the hour has come. The hour has come. As they say in Espanol and French, the hour has come. That I will lay all that I have down when I went down the surgery. I came down here to do what you told me to do. I have completed. I have completed. Now I'm ready to give up my life. All that I have. The men you gave me walk with me. And then, Father, I can meet some after them. They're going to walk up, but they saw it. And see, a lot of people today said, like they said, she said she's going to have a word for y'all, Maranatha. Let me tell you something. The moment you walk in the Christness of Christ, when I put on my white garments that don't have a spot or wrinkle in the spot of the garment of holiness that I'm going to ride, I'm going to put on the gold, the robe of holiness. I'm going to put on the robe of righteousness. I'm going to put on the robe that doesn't have a stain, but all of the blood has washed it pure. And God the Father is going to give it for us. And here's what I say. When he bared his cross, and they took him to Calvary, they took him up there, and they said, we got him now. Pilate began to write something. Here come the Gentiles to the Romans going into it. And Pilate wrote the title to him. He says, and put this on his cross. Now, what about his cross? Jesus was crossed over, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. What? The Jews said, no, take over. See, even their own people, God's not only people, didn't like him. Take it off. Don't do that. But you know what? God had a plan. God. Because he sent his Son to do what he did. He sent his Son down the sanctuary to do it. He said he stood by the cross. Here's what his mother stood by the cross and sister, the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. They stood there. He said to him, he said, Mark was standing there. He said, this is your mother and this is your father. He put it in the true context. What did God the Father do? The Jews. And I was going to listen to this program. There are some Jews in Israel that don't even want to be connected to no part of this world. But God has made it so in the book of Hebrews. He said, I've come. He said, in time past, hallelujah, in time past, God used the prophets and apostles to speak. But now he has used a more excellent way to speak by his son, Jesus Christ, who bore the cross, who did all he could do on Calvary. But here's one thing I would say. I'm going to let you go. I'm about through my time. Oh, Jesus, time just goes so fast. Then the Jews therefore came for the preparation. They took Jesus off the cross, they got him down, they got him ready, stood and reigned on the cross on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was a high day, which you all do celebrate. But Pilate and the Hellenes had to be see the Jews, the Gentiles believe in beating you up bad. See that the Gentiles, we believe in cutting you up, man. They believe in butchering your neck, cutting it off, and everything. But they say, this one is dead. He said, but when he went to break his leg, blood began to, when he pierced him in the side, the blood, hallelujah, the blood just gushed out. Water first and blood. Water for the baptism, blood for the cleansing. It just come that vision. And here was Jesus Christ. And his whole body. And you know one thing I found? Even the rocks. The rocks said, hide us, hide us, hide us. But God says, stand there for the resurrection. Stand there. Now, here's the point. Now, when it came to, after they did everything, took him down. Here's the key. Some people don't believe that Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, not born of flesh, blood was not of this world, but it was done according to God's will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they took him down and we got his body ready, put him in the graveyard, and they took that, I'm going to tell you, because they was, ooh, Jesus. They nailed it, ooh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. You, yes, they did. They were so, the devil was so afraid. Don't let him out of there. Don't let him out of there. See, the devil read the scripture. He knew that Jesus had a resurrection. The devil knew that, but he said, being fooled the people, nobody could understand it. But Jesus said, I have come, hunted that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And all of a sudden, hallelujah, when they took that rock, that big rock, and put it on that door, on the third day, something happened. When Jesus had told the woman, said, I am the resurrection. My God Almighty. I am the resurrection. And I'm going to stop right there and say this to somebody while God is putting my spirit. When Jesus, all of his blood was taken away by him, who took his blood to heaven and put on the mercy seat? Who took his blood? That's the question I'm going to leave you with, and I want you to answer me after you get off and call me. Who took his blood to the mercy seat? And so when Jesus Christ came out of the grave and he said, the woman spoke to him, said, he said, excuse me, in other words, and she said, I'm looking for my master. Where have they laid him? Oh, my God, man. Where have they laid my master? She said, and he said, oh, shika, under hayon de kiko, lambeko under the sea. Oh, yahita. When he began to speak, she understood, master, Rabboni. Woo! My goodness. She got excited. He said, touch me not. Why not to touch him? Because he had not yet ascended back to heaven to finish his royal work in heaven, to fulfill the prophecy of him being the firstborn of God, the only in the likeness of God. He's the firstborn. He is the one who first resurrection. He is the only one. He is the one not but on. He had to go back. So he said, touch me not. When he went to heaven, now I'm going to go and answer because I'm getting happy about it. See, when the blood of Jesus Christ was carried back to heaven and placed on the mercy seat, it was done by Jesus and the Holy Spirit. They carried it back to heaven. They put it on the mercy seat. Why? so that the devil could see it throughout eternity. And Jesus raised his hand, and God said, "It is finished." God stood, and Jesus sat down. Hallelujah. God sat down, and God stood. God is watching over now in the name of Jesus. But he's at the right hand. He intercedes for us, you and I. Now, somebody said, "This don't make sense." I'm going to tell you until you get to hope. Until you come out of your darkness, you'll never know. But I'm going to take you to a scripture. I want to, oh, my God, time slipping away. Oh, I'm going to say, I'm going to go to, I think it was mentioned, 1 Corinthians 1:17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize," this is Paul talking, "but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made none effect." In other words, Paul said, no, y'all know about the cross. He's talking to the Jews now. But see, they had to kick him out. When he got off into what God had him to do, he said, "I'm going to tell you the cross is none effect, but I want you to come to know Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. He said, "It's foolish. But preaching of the cross to them, it appears foolish. But us to us say, see, to us who are saved is the power of God." See, don't tell nobody. See, the devil knows that, but he don't want nobody to know. That's why we got this blog talk radio going around the world. See, here's again. Here it is. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolish, but to us, unto us, which are saved, it is the power of God." It is the power. It is a God power. It is the power that God has, what God has given us. Oh, my God. But I tell you what, I just want to do one more thing as well. Let me do it. Ephesians 2:16. "And that he said, reconciled both unto God in one body by the cross, having slayed the enmity thereby." There was no Jew, hallelujah, oh Jesus. No Gentile, only one. One man. One man. All has been destroyed. See, but God the Father. That's why it's so important that we get up into the Word of God. And you know what? Time is so important. Time is so important. But when I see the last word, I want to let my last word. I got two minutes left. I want to take you to Philippians 2:8. "And being found in the fashion as a man," that's Jesus, fashion as a man, big muscles, mustache, ears, eyes, nose, toenail, "he humbled himself and became obedient." That's the key word, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And you know what I love about it? God has been so good to us all this day. Can nobody fool me? Can nobody tell me otherwise? I just want to say I love the Lord with all my heart. And you know one thing? I just say, and one of the old songs that I would sing back in the day, I would call on the Lord, and the Lord heard me, and he answered me. When he heard me, he answered me. He answered me. How I know? When I had an incident about 10:10, the enemy attacked me full force. I thought I was doing good, but sometimes you let your guards down. But I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was doing good. Sometimes, but through disobedience, and I told people, the devil attacked me because I was disobedient, and I'm attacking him back. I'm hitting him back hard. Why are you hitting him back up? Because he don't know what God is doing. What God is doing through our bodies, he's let it be known. He have us 120 years. It's according to us, do what the Bible says. And when you take what the Word of God has said, beloved, I want to let you know in my last moment, I want you to know one thing. The more we trust God, the more we believe in God, the more we accept what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ, no man can get to see the Father. Jesus said, except you come by him. So you go knock on the door, you go ring the doorbell, but if you don't ring him, you can't get in. One thing I like about it, on the door to heaven, there's only one door that can open. When you knock on the door, God's over the door. Come on in. Come on in. My time is up. I thank you for yours. And remember, We got one more on the line with us. And I want you to know, it's thank God. Brother Tyrone, are you there with us?
Praise God. Praise God, Pastor. How's everybody this evening?
Amen.
Truly, I thank God for being here today. I thank God for another opportunity that I can share his word with his people today. But before I do, I'm going to ask our little sister from Brunswick, will she sing a song for us, open up with a song.
Okay.
Amazing grace, it'll always be my song of praise. Oh, it was grace that brought me deliverance.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
thank you, Jesus.
That's why he came. Oh, because he loved me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus looked beyond every one of my faults, and he saw my need. Amazing grace, it'll always be my song of praise. I realized it was grace that brought me liberty. Now I know just why he came. So because Jesus loved me so, my Lord and Savior looked beyond. Hallelujah. Everyone but my fall, and he saw my need.
Thank you, Jesus.
I shall forever my life to carry. To view the cross where my Savior died for me. Oh, I'm a blessed of grace that caught my sin sick soul. Jesus looked beyond. When I was out there smoking, my God looked beyond. When I used to drink alcohol, Jesus looked beyond. When I used to go to the club, my God looked beyond. When I used to lie, cheat, and steal, oh, he looked beyond. Everyone of my fall. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, he.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Truly, we thank you. the sister for that song. Father God, in Jesus' name, we give you the honor, we give you the praise, we give you the glory. Father God, we ask you to open our hearts to receive your word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, Father God, let thy word go forth unhindered to accomplish the things you have ordained your word to accomplish. Help your church to become one in love, in unity, in peace, to do your will and your will alone. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for each and everyone that's under the sound of my voice. In the name of Jesus right now, we thank you and we praise you. We are not defeated. We will not be defeated. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. But truly, like I said, I thank God for this opportunity. It's been a while since I shared with God's people. But what I just want to share with the saints tonight, it's about salvation. And salvation is a rescue from sin and death, number one, a renewing of the spirit by the Holy Ghost, and restoring a right relationship with Jesus Christ, with our God, our Savior, our Lord. And all through John, to read the book of John, you'll read John 3:14, when Jesus Christ said, starting at the 14th verse and read on, you'll see what Jesus Christ said. That, let me, I'm going to turn to it right quick for you. And I want to make sure that, because it's the word and the word only that can save, nothing else. Nothing else. And it reads so. And as Moses lifted up the 14th verse, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, Jesus Christ came to give us a gift. He came to give us something, and that was everlasting life. But he just couldn't come and give us that life, because it was something in the way that was blocking him from giving us that. Something had to be dealt with first, and that was sin. So before he can give us life, he had to deal with the sin problem. So he gave his life for us. Saints, all through the book of John, he was telling us about, for whosoever believes in him shall not perish. He said, for all that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. He said, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. Then you go to Luke. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. All through it, it was about us coming into a right relationship with God and him giving us another life, a different life. Because we were just dead people walking around. That's what we were. Just dead men walking. You know, I seen a story on TV. The guy was going to be executed. And when he was walking, everybody was shouting, dead man walking. And that's what we were. Before we received Jesus Christ in our life, we were just dead men walking. So he came and gave us life, life everlasting, a different kind of life. He said, I came that you might have life and have more abundant. Then he gave us how to do it. Saints, I don't want to get ahead of myself. If we go back to Genesis, when the fall, before the fall, everything was perfect. Everything was perfect. Just everything God made was, it was perfect. Even the tree that he told them not to eat from, it was perfect. The only thing what was wrong with that tree, he told them not to do it. Because if you remember in the garden, he said, and all that was created, it was good. And God looked and seen everything, and it was good. But he just told them, look, don't eat from this here. Okay? They went against him. But then God made a way. When he kicked them out of the garden, he had already made a prophecy about Jesus Christ coming and restoring us to a right relationship with him. And if you keep fast forward just a little bit in Genesis, you're going to read, it said, when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they took them whom they would. The enemy was trying to infect the righteous generation. And ever since then, from the beginning of time, Satan been trying to infiltrate the kingdom of God. And what I want to share with us tonight, saints, is God has called out a special, bless you, God has called out a special people for himself. We're unique people. We're peculiar people. We're a holy generation. We're priests. That's who we are. And the fights haven't changed. Nothing changed. Satan's still trying to infiltrate God's kingdom. Everything, even when Satan was in heaven with God, he wanted to be like God. He wanted what God had. He haven't changed. He haven't. God didn't. God said he changed not. He said he was holy then. He's holy now. He wanted his people to be holy then. He wants to be holy now. No difference. I don't care what generation we live in, the 21st century, the 20th, whatever century we live in. God's standard haven't changed for his people. We are a called out people for the Lord. And it's a privilege and an honor. I just think about so many times after Lord me, of all the people. When you read the 15th chapter of St. John and at the 16th verse, he said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I didn't get up go looking for God. I didn't just get up one morning and say, okay, I guess I'm going to get saved. He chose me and then ordained me, appointed me for a reason, saints, for a reason. We are to make a change in this world. But the only way we can make a change in this world is through the word of God. All through the scripture, especially in John, Jesus Christ, I didn't come to do my will. I ain't come to do my will. I came to do the will of him that sent me. I'm not doing my own thing. See, what I see the Father do, I do. See, when John the Baptist was here, John the Baptist went before Jesus saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John got put in prison, then Jesus took up the call. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Saints, we should be saying, repent. Repent, because Jesus Christ is soon to return. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give us another life. Not only here in the hereafter, but he wants to live a good life while we're here. He didn't ever say, I want to go live a trouble-free life. He didn't say that. He never told me I wasn't going to have no problem. Matter of fact, he said, for everyone who would deny himself, whoever would leave father, whoever would leave sister and brother, for his sake, he told us what we're going to receive. You're going to receive houses and a material thing. But then he added something to it, saying, he said, we're going to receive persecution. To live for Christ, we will face persecution. We will not live a trouble-free life. Ain't going to happen. You can forget it. That's not scripture. But whatever comes our way, we are to rely on him. And for his glory, we said, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. When it comes, that's what we're going to have to do. Think about the apostles who went on before us, the prophets of old. Those guys, suffered so much. So what, we think we're not going to suffer now? But he said, wherever you are, he'll be with us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Saints, please let me share this with you. You want to see answered prayers? You really want to see some answered prayers? Line, let his will be your will.
Mm-hmm.
Let his will now be, and I can show you in the scripture, let God's will be your will. And I love this. I love it. Because Mary said, when after her brother had died, man, see, this gives me, after the Lord, it makes me examine myself. See, I ain't got time to examine nobody else. I have to check me out. See? So she comes to the Lord and she said, I've been to my brother when he died. But she said, even so now, I know this her faith. I know if you ask the Father now, he'll do it for you. He'll do it. Why? Because everything Jesus did, it was in the Father's will. Yeah. And ain't no devil in hell can stop the will of God. I don't care how much it is. When we line up our ministries, our life, our families, on our jobs, in our relationships, and sometimes he'll tell you to walk away from some. Sometimes, but see, that's between you and God. We must have a ear to hear God. It's not for me to tell you God didn't tell you this, God didn't tell you that. That's not for me to do. But what I should do is say, brother, sister, you sure that's God? You say, yeah, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you then. See, that you accomplish the will of God that God have called you out for. We can't put God in a box. God may tell us, want us to go to the forest, want us to go to the shores of loneliness. God may snares in any direction, but it's all for his glory.
His glory.
All for his glory. Not ours. Oh, not that I can feel good. It's for God and God's glory alone. So he tell Tyrone, you got to die to self. Because see, I'm going to tell you to do some things, you know, you're going to want to question me on it. See, it will be some things that I tell you to do, it ain't going to make no sense. So you got to die to self. You got to be able to hear my voice. And then the people that are around you, oh, God didn't tell you that. No, we are not to do that. We are to support one another. As long as we know we hear the voice of God, God will never tell us to sin. God will never tell us to go against his word. We know this. Some things we just automatically know. But we ought to pray for one another. We ought to encourage one another. Saints, we living in a fallen world. They said, well, this, I mean, the sister was talking the other day. He said, the sun shines on the just and unjust. It rains on the just and unjust.
Yes.
What happened to unbelievers? It happened to saints, too. Unbeliever gets an accident. Saints get an accident. You know, but it's how do we go through these things? How do we go through it? Do we go through it that God may be glorified and bring honor to his name? But it's all for his glory. Whatever it is. When Lazarus died, Jesus, it's for the glory. It's a good thing I wasn't there because God's going to get some glory out of this. Not everybody else looking at it one way. See, them Hebrew boys, when they were throwing in the fiery furnace, God already knew what was going to happen. It was no surprise to him. He already knew. These guys had faith in God. They said, well, even if he don't, we know he can. They was ready to give up their life. But they was ready to give up their life believing God. Daniel's in the lion den. His brother wasn't worried. He knew who he trusted. Even if it cost him his life. Ain't no surprises to God, saints. There's not one. But he want to know, do we trust him? Do we believe him? Are we willing to go through what we have to go through, what, praising him and bringing glory to his name? In 2 Corinthians, it said we are ambassadors for Christ. Now, ambassadors is from another nation, from another country, okay? They represent the country that they're from in another nation. We have ambassadors over in China, Japan, and we got an embassy there. Now, if they attack the embassy over in Japan right now, that's just as if they're attacking the United States. The Word of God said we are ambassadors for Christ. So this tells me we have heaven's resources at our disposal. That's what it tells me. That's what an ambassador is. We are not to look at the material thing, at the world as if it is. Because, see, if we look at the world as what's going on out there now, and that's all we see, we will want to give up and walk away. But see, I know who's in charge. I do. I really do. I know God is in charge. There's no, see, God is, Jesus, since we said Jesus Christ is soon to return, I just think saying it all the time. But I think what we forget sometimes is before he returned, everything got to be set up exactly the way the Bible said. And it could be a bad case out here. So we got to understand that. But it's a good time for the church and all this darkness out here. He said, we are the light. We're the salt of the earth. So it's a good time for us, saints. I don't care what's going on out there. We take heaven, the kingdom that we represent, override anything that's happening out there. Anything. We have to come together in love and in peace and oneness. I don't have an agenda, only heaven's agenda. That's it. To preach the gospel, to win souls, to introduce people to Jesus Christ. Once they meet Jesus Christ and we start discipling them and they start growing and learning, then they start finding out, wait a minute, I'm an heir of the kingdom of God. I'm a child of the living God. I have heaven's resource. Then they start growing and learning. This is what this is about. For the church populating the earth under the kingdom of God, under the authority of God. That's what it's about. It's all about him. And my prayer is that we, as the body of Christ, that we can come together with his purpose. However you do it now, however you do it, whatever ministry that he's given you, but it's under his authority and his purpose. And we do this thing. We turn this thing upside down for God. Truly, I thank God. But I'm growing and I'm still learning. I tell people, the little bit that I know, you can put it on the head of a needle and still have room for more. I don't know nothing. I only know what God gave me to know. That's it. I have nothing to boast and or brag on. I boast in my God. I boast in my daddy. I boast in my father. Because the word told me, apart from him, said Tyrone, you can't do nothing. None of us can do it. I don't care how big, how small, whatever your ministry is, it ain't about you. This thing is bigger than our ministries. It is. We are to preach Christ and Christ alone. Grace and mercy. Mercy is what God has given us. He's given us mercy because his mercy say, I'm going to hold something back from you that you deserve. And that was death. That's what I deserved. But by his mercy, he didn't give it to me. His grace told me, said, I'm going to give you something that you don't deserve. And that's life everlasting. So what do I have to brag about, church? Jesus Christ loves us. God loves us so. And if there's anyone out there under the sound of my voice who don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it ain't one thing that you can do that he won't forgive you for. He's just waiting at the door. He's knocking at your door. He's waiting for you. He wants you to give him your problem, your pain, your anxiety. He said, come unto me. He wants you to come to him. He's waiting for you to come to him. He, Jesus, I promise you, if you come, he said, I will in no wise cast you out. He truly loves us so much. So I just thank God for this opportunity. I really do. I thank God that you allowed me to share with you this night. You know, and if the young sister on the phone, if she want to bless us with another song, you know, we won't hold her back.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Thank God for the word because he promised us that coming back again to receive us unto himself. So we got to be ready when he comes because he's coming again through truth.
Praise God.
nothing we can do. We can't stop it. Nobody. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Day for the sake of God. So that's why we encourage everybody to give their life to Christ while they have a chance. Because they may not have the chance. They know not the day or the hour that the Son of Man shall be. And we just thank God for the word. And the song says, we're going to be caught up to meet him. In a twinkling of an eye, God's going to crack the sky. The trumpet all will sound, and we'll all be homeward bound. We're going to sit at his feet to be blessed, where the saints are going to be at rest. Church, we're going to be caught up. To meet him in that midair, caught up to meet him. Be with the Lord forevermore. Renowned, caught up in the air. I got a home beyond the shore, where I live forevermore. With the one who died for me, with the one who set me free, we're gonna sit at his feet to be blessed, where the saints are gonna be at rest. Church, we're gonna be caught up to meet him. No more crying, caught up to meet him. No more dying, caught up to meet him. No more heartache, caught up to meet him. We're gonna be caught up to meet him. Then I'll be with the Lord forevermore. When I'm caught up in the air.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Well, I want to tell y'all, it's been a great time being on the radio with y'all tonight. And we know God is so good. And we just love him. We praise him. We adore him. We magnify him. And I just say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Just remember these words. I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Until next time, God bless you, and we'll talk again. Amen?
Amen.
God bless.